John, the book of John, the book of John, chapter 20, the gospel of John, chapter 20. The gospel of John, chapter 20. We're going to raise up verses 26 through 29. John, chapter 20, verses 26 through 29. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Lord, ask for your power to reside upon your servant. Bring a word like only you can. In season, out of season, we don't care, but we just want a word. A word that will take us to the next level in life. A word that will convict us. A word that will lift us up. A word that will bring us to the next level in your glory and the next level in our existence. Take us, Lord, from the level that we are and raise our consciousness in you. And renew our mind and make our minds to be that is in Christ Jesus. By renewing our thoughts, Lord, and crucifying our flesh. Release the anointing in the midst of us so that we may walk in the prolific power of the anointing. And walk in the power of Jesus Christ and be able to walk on serpents and heal the sick and raise the dead. Lord, we need the church to walk in the power that is ordained to walk in. So we ask for your grace and mercy to crucify our flesh so that our spirit may reign, that we may walk by faith and not by sight. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. As you take your seat, I want to speak to you from the subject of resurrection power. Resurrection power. About 3 months ago, churches across this country and across this world celebrated the most significant event on the Christian calendar, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without the resurrection, there is no victory over death, no salvation, no hope. Christianity simply does not exist without it. As Christian, we must remember not only Christ's death, but also his resurrection. The resurrection is not only power for eternal living, but everyday life. The power is clearly revealed in the lives of the disciples for the rest of their lives. In the moment that Thomas saw Jesus with his own eyes, we are not told what he did, but we do know what he said. "My Lord and my God." In that very moment, Thomas declared that what had never been said before, this was truly a miraculous moment. I believe the reason Jesus confronted Thomas and his unbelief is because Thomas desperately needed to understand the reality of the resurrection for himself. The truth is that the resurrection of Jesus wasn't the only resurrection recorded in the Bible. While Jesus walked the earth, we are told about 3 other resurrections. We are called in the little R's though, amen. And the resurrection of the widow's son, Jesus stripped death of his power when he raised the boy right from his coffin. With the daughter of the man named Jairus, Jesus cleared the room from doubters and then he raised her from the dead. See, every now and then you got to clear the room. Come on, somebody. Some of y'all need to clear the room in your life. Some of y'all need to clear the slate of your work around people. Some of y'all need to clear the slate of some of your friends. Sometimes you just got to get rid of some doubters so you can go to the next level in your life. So anyway, and when he raised Lazarus on the 4th day, that was a resurrection. That was an impossible feat, because remember, They always believed that the spirit hovered around the body for 3 days. They felt like if you was there for 3 days, you might just be asleep. Come on, somebody. They thought you might just be asleep. That's why on the cross, that Jesus allowed them to pierce him in his side, and the blood and the water came out so everybody would know, yeah, he truly is dead. So when he rose on the third day, nobody could argue that his spirit had not left him. Come on, somebody. But rather, he waited to the fourth day till everybody knew he was dead. His doubters, his friends, you know, sometimes God will let some stuff die around you just to show his resurrection power in your life. Do you know God will let you go to the cross, figuratively speaking, to put you in a situation where everybody think you gonna die just so he can show his resurrection power in your situation? Do you know that what you're going through right now is not for your demise, but it's for his glory? Do you know when enemies are around you, encamped around you, and come at you like a flood, God is allowing that to happen just so he can show his resurrection power into your life? Do you not know that God has not buried you, but he's planted you in some mess so when you grow up out of that manure, everybody will know can't nothing stop you? Oh, the small R's, we learn that life is possible, that hope is real as death, that faith can rise in the midst of chaos. And Jesus showed up and confronted Thomas. He really wanted Thomas to believe, to throw away his doubts and just believe. Jesus wanted his death and resurrection to mean something in Thomas's life. Jesus didn't die so Thomas would live out the rest of his life in doubt. He died and was resurrected so that Thomas could believe and live free from doubt. This is what I don't understand. With church folk, we believe that Jesus died on the cross, rose on the third day, and we done heard so many preachers say he got up with all power in his hand, gave us that same power. Yet when we get laid off, we go crazy. We get fired from our job. We don't know what to do. We get a furlough and act like God can't supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. People lie on us and build traps for us, but we forget that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I don't understand. If Jesus rose from the dead, that is absolutely crazy and absurd to me. But my faith tells me that the foolishness God uses to confine the wise, although I believe, somebody else may not believe, but because I believe, the power is in me. And if I believe that Jesus died on the cross, how dare I cry if you fire me? How dare I cry if you lie on me? How dare I worry about you when you come against me? I got resurrection power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead raises you from your dead situation. The same power that raised Lazarus from the dead on the fourth day can raise you out of the fourth day of your mess. I don't care how long you've been messed up. I don't care how long you've been down and out. If you know who Jesus is, baby, weeping may endure for a night, but I'm telling you, joy will come in the morning. I don't care how many enemies you got. The enemy can't stop you because God is in you. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Can't nothing and stop you. Not racism, not sexism, not lies, not scandal, not gossip. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Oh, trying to talk to you. If you really knew Jesus, you really know Psalm 23. You just wouldn't quote it. A lot of us remember it, but do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? Yeah, so stop crying, girl, and shut up and gird up your loins and walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. He prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies, but you get mad every time a hater rise up against you. Baby, unless you got a hater, you can't get blessed. That's the prerequisite of God. God said, I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He didn't say before your friends. He didn't say before your confidants. He didn't say before your supporters. He said, I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. I love my enemies. I want to buy you some cupcakes because if it wasn't for you, baby, I wouldn't be blessed. No matter how numb you
find yourself, how dead and hopeless your situation is. It may be your fourth day as in Lazarus' cave, but it's no match for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Life is still a very real possibility for you if you believe. I just want to read John 11, 25, 26 just a little bit because I didn't get you verse 25. I wanted to be like Noel Jones and just hide some mysteries in the sermon. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Let me give him some points, because let me see. I don't see her, but anyway, I'm giving y'all some points. Tell Sister Reba, if she ain't in here, I gave some points. Number one, the reality of the resurrection strengthened the disciples' resolve. Resolve is defined as commitment, boldness, and courage. When Jesus was arrested, tried, and crucified, it seemed that in one sweeping moment, the disciples lost all their resolve. That's what it seemed like. What happened? I believe their fear and lack of courage surprised even themselves. See, a lot of times we tend to think that we're more powerful than we are until we walk into an oppressive situation. Come on, somebody. We always talk about what we would have did if we was right there. And sometimes we watch the movies and say, I wouldn't even went that way. I don't know why she did it. That was so stupid. And when we're not in the situation, we tend to point fingers. It shocked them. The truth is, we all have weak moments, no matter how bad we are. And don't worry about that. No, you can still be a bad mama jamma. You can still be all that and the bag of chips if you're humble. Don't think you're the bag of chips and the Fruit Loops and all that stuff by yourself. But when God touches your life, you can be a bad mama jamma even when you fall. Because when you fall in your weak moments, just know you got good company. The disciples failed. Moses did many acts of valor, called 10 plagues through God on the Egyptian, caused the Red Sea to split. But then he got to the point where they got on his nerves so much, he said, God, just kill me right now. Elijah called fire down on a water-soaked stone altar, stood up against 450 prophets of Baal by himself. But when Jezebel said she was going to kill him, he ran and found himself stuck in depression, asking to die and be with his father. Job talked real tough. Naked I came in the world and naked I will return. He talked about Lord gives and the Lord takes away. But when he stayed in that situation for a long time, he said, cursed was the day I was born and cursed the breast that nursed me at the bedside. Paul did mighty work, but he was pressed and said, I was pressed above measure and I just can't take it no more. Jacob was a faithful man. He did everything through faith, wrestled God, warned and prevailed, only walked away with a limp, but he got so much bad news, he just had his head in depression and said, I can't take it no more. We all have weak moments. But what I love is that we have a God of a second chance. And although I love that song, he has a God of a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth chance. He's a God of so many chances. How many times have you messed up and God still uses you again? That's why I'm not into just when I put people down or sit people down. I use them again when God tells me to use them, because everybody can be recycled. Truth be told, you ain't no original product. You're a recycle of your sinful nature self. You ain't nothing but a recycled product. God took you out the junkyard and put you back on the market again. You was messed up in the midst of your sin. You sinned last night and messed up the day before, but God said, I still gonna use you. Oh, the resurrection power of God. Oh, can you imagine the disciples coming together after the death of Jesus, looking at one another? What you do? Did you stay? What would you? Did anyone stand up for Jesus? Imagine the shame and the humiliation. See, resolve is hard to come by when your life is in danger. It quickly diminishes when your family's life is in danger. Questions and doubt Fill your mind. Thomas wasn't the only one to doubt. He was just the most vocal. Thomas, like Peter, really loved Jesus. Why do I say that? Because he, like Peter, at one moment was willing to die for Jesus. Let me show you in the scripture, because some of y'all don't believe me. When Jesus wanted to return to Judea, the disciples reminded Jesus that recently they wanted to stone him there. Thomas was the only one to say to the rest of the disciples in John 11:16, let us also go that we may die with him. What? Don't we call him Doubting Thomas? Ain't it messed up how we always try to coin somebody by their mistakes? No matter how good somebody does their whole life, they'll mess up one moment and we'll call him Doubting Thomas. This man was a ride and die saint and said, you know what, Jesus, we don't want to go there. You crazy, but if you're going to die, we ain't going to let you die by yourself. We're going to go. And they tried to kick it last time, Jesus. Did none of the disciples want to go? Thomas said, let's ride out. Aren't you glad that God doesn't throw you away like everybody else? We don't even read the whole scripture. All we saw is that Thomas doubted Jesus. But we don't even realize when Jesus came and showed himself personally to Thomas. So Thomas must have had some type of anointing. Everybody don't see Jesus like that. Everybody don't experience Jesus like that. We always want to coin people by their mistakes and their failures. I'm so glad that God is the author and finisher of my faith. Yeah, because if I mess up, y'all might get y'all pen and mark out my blessings. You might get your eraser and erase out the jobs and the purposes God has given me. But one thing about God, he leaves the permanent ink on what it is that I'm supposed to do. Even though I'm messed up and I'm flawed and I fall down, God said, I don't care. I began a good work in you and I'm going to finish it. I don't care how messed up you are. If you just keep on following me, I fulfill the purpose I have in you. I don't care how many times you fall down. If I could sing like Donna McClurkin, I'd say, we fall down, but we get back up again. I tell you, I go back to the 90s on you, baby, and give you that one line hit. I tell you that a saint is just a sinner that fell down and got back up. Oh. You can see what people are made of during difficult moments. And this was one of those moments. What you get when you squeeze an orange juice? What you get when you squeeze lemons, lemonade? What you get when you squeeze the disciples? I don't know. Fear. Scared. I don't know. King said the true measure of a man or woman is not in times of comfort, but in times of challenges. When you really get challenged, the real you come out. And they squeeze the disciples, and we ain't get orange juice nor lemonade. Yet, Thomas was real loyal in verse 16. Yet somehow, that resolve was out the window the moment Jesus was arrested. Why? Because Thomas was human. Because he was flesh and blood, and that's the flesh. That's what the flesh does when it walks into challenges. It falls down. Sorry, this is in the way. I sound better like this. Hallelujah. Like many in that day, Thomas had two names. Thomas is Aramaic, and Didymus is Greek. John 20:24 is where I'm getting it from. They both mean twin. See, it could mean Thomas literally had a twin, or it could refer to his faith struggle. You know, all of us got a little Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in us. We know that, right? All of us got a little Jacob and Israel in us. We all got some split personality. We all schizophrenic to a certain extent. Some of us just crazy. But we all got a little bit of something in us. We all got a little good and evil struggling in us. The problem is, which one are you going to let overcome? What twin in you is winning? Is your twin of faith winning, or is your carnal spirit winning? Is Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde winning? Is Jacob or Israel? What is winning in your life? God know that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You ain't going to succeed all the time, and you ain't gonna fail all the time. You're not going to do right all the time. You're not going to do wrong all the time. But what I want to ask you, what you going to do the most of? Oh, that's another sermon. Just had to give you that. Thomas was like a lot of us. We believe, and then we don't believe. Huh? We are courageous, and then we fear. This reminds me, of course, y'all know I always go back to this, of the Mark chapter 9. He said, I do believe, help me unbelief. See, in Mark chapter 9, when the boy had the epileptic seizures, see, in his commentary, author David Guzik explains, the man in Mark chapter 9, his unbelief was not rebellion. Help my unbelief is something a man can only say by faith. See, you got to come to God real. Stop trying to act like you got it all together. How you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Everything is all right. No curves, no bumps, no bruises in my life. Shut up. He came to him real. So Thomas's doubt didn't make Jesus reject him. Instead, his doubt drew Jesus to Thomas. Jesus wanted to prove to Thomas that his resurrection was real because he wanted Thomas to believe. The problem with us is we don't go to Jesus real. We try to act like we got it all together, like he don't know you ain't got it all together. Stop coming to God with your pseudo-fake faith, acting like you got it all together. We know you're scared when you got laid off, but what we're trying to tell you is walk by faith anyhow. We know that you're going to get scared when you get cancer, but what we're trying to say is walk by faith anyhow. If you don't believe, let Jesus know. I believe in your power, but I got some doubt every now and then. I don't want my Mr. Hyde to overcome my doctor. Jacob. I don't want my Jacob to overcome my Israel. I want to walk by faith and not by sight. But Jesus, I need your help. Stop being fake. He knows you. He knows your mess. He knows your setback. You can lie to me all you want, but don't lie to God. You can lie to your mama all you want, but don't lie to God. Be real with God and let him know, I'm sick, Lord, and I'm tired, but I need your help. There is no doubt that all the disciples, including Thomas, were changed after seeing Jesus is resurrected. What? He was beaten and bruised. I saw him get stabbed. I saw the crown of thorns on his cranium. I saw the blood running through his eyes. I saw the sun get black. I saw the earthquake. I saw him give up the ghost and say, it's finished. I saw them put him in the tomb. I saw them take his beaten body and wrap it up and put it in the tomb. I saw it, and now I see him now. You got to look at your life like that. Look back over your life, and I'm sure you got a testimony. You done been through some mess you thought you was going to die in. You done been through some situation you thought you wasn't going to get delivered from. You done been in some situation everybody thought you was going to be down and out. You done been in some situation where you didn't look like you was going to get up again. But the resurrection power of Jesus brought you through it all. Don't you let the devil give you amnesia. When you're going through hell right now, remember the hell you made it through last year. If you made it through 2016, I'm believing you're going to make it through 2017. Stop crying and shout out to God and say, Lord, I thank you. Help my unbelief. I believe you, Lord, but help my unbelief. The resurrection was never far from their lips. It's what drove them. They kept talking about the resurrection. And I believe they talked about it because it was so close. But you need to realize, he said, blessed are you, Thomas, who have seen, but more blessed is those who have not seen. If you believe Jesus, you ain't even seen him yet. You need to understand and act like he was crucified yesterday and coming back tomorrow. You got to walk in the power God has ordained for you and stop letting these small scrimmages that the devil throw at your life distract distract you and make you look away from your goal. The devil ain't over nothing. He only the little g god of this world, which comes from the Greek word cosmos, which means the arrangement or order of things. All he can do is set up some props in your life like a movie set. You know the movie set ain't real. It ain't really raining. Them sadistic actresses and actors ain't getting in no real rain. They don't be raining for real. It's water that's coming out and make it look like it's raining. They make the props look like the sun is really rising. They can't sit up there and wait on the sun and say action. They might mess up the take. It's not real. The circumstances in your life that don't line up with God is not real. It's a circumstance that's set up by the devil to distract you. Oh, I know I'm preaching too much today. I'm preaching too much, but the one hit wonder choir got me up here early. So I got time today. Acts 4, chapter 2 says, they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. What? Acts 4:33 says, with great power the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerful at work in them all. Romans 6:5 says, for if we have been united with him in death like his, we should certainly also be united in the resurrection like his. See, in probably one of the most encouraging passages, if you, as a pastor, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 presents a contrast of everyday frailty and weakness versus the resurrection life. Just listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 17, 14, and 16. And we have this treasure in jars of clay, and King James says in earthen vessels, to show that, and that's earthen vessel is you, that this all surpassing power is from God and not from us. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. See, the resurrection does what nothing else can do. It proves that Jesus is the Son of God. Nothing else does. Take away the resurrection and you take away the power of the cross. So what? You die on the cross. If you don't get back up again, you're just a dead man. The disciples' resolve was strengthened in a way that transformed their lives for the rest of their lives. History tells us that all the disciples lived the rest of their lives spreading the news that Jesus was alive. All of them except John the beloved died a martyr's death. The resurrection was such a personal reality that they gave up their lives for it. What are you willing to give up for Jesus? I ain't preaching about that. I just want you to think about it. Thomas was perhaps the only apostle who went outside the Roman Empire to preach the gospel. According to Christian tradition, Thomas's reach extended as far as India, where he was martyred for his teaching on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now look, Thomas, we call him Down Thomas, but Thomas ride or die and died for Jesus. So stop trying to coin people by their mistakes, and don't let people coin you that way either. Not bad for the disciple known as Doubting Thomas. See, Thomas did change. He did not stay Doubting Thomas, but became faithful, bold, and courageous Thomas. Number two, that was a long number one, wasn't it? Those ones ain't that long. The reality of the resurrection strengthened the disciples' relationship with him. The reality of the resurrection is found in the relationship that Jesus had with his followers. How the disciples lived out the rest of their lives tells us a greater story. It tells us a story of relationship. Not only did the disciples find the Messiah, they found their Savior and friend. The disciples were invested because Jesus was invested in them. He not only talked about brotherhood, Jesus lived out brotherhood. After the resurrection, Jesus told Mary Magdalene and the other women, go and tell my brothers. It was the first thing he thought of. He essentially said, don't be afraid and make sure you tell my disciples not to be afraid. I want to meet with them. What could have been Jesus' moment in the spotlight, he deliberately turned into a moment of true humility and kindness. Go and tell my brothers. See, when our brothers fall, we want to talk about our brothers. We want to tweet about them and Instagram about them and Facebook about them. Every time somebody falls, people are sending me some stuff about people falling, and they are posting it, and they're going to report. I ain't reposting that because I don't want my mess posted. Uh-huh. You better be careful, man. Judge not so ye not be judged. Lord, have mercy. Thomas could not believe their disciples when they told him they had just seen Jesus alive. John 20, 25 says, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I would not believe. This is what Thomas said. Faithful, loyal Thomas had moved from a state of unbelief that what? He made all these demands. And Jesus basically gave into his demands. Why? Because Jesus was still doing the work of discipleship even after the resurrection, because Jesus is about relationship. So when you don't believe, every now and then you got to be like Gideon and say, Lord, if you really want me to do this, I'm going to put this fleece out here and let the rain fall everywhere, but only fleece. Now, you know what you did that, Lord? Let the rain fall on the fleece and not everywhere. Every now and then you got to ask God, because God will meet you where you are. Stop trying to act like everybody else. Be where you are and say, God, I need you to show me yourself. I believe, but I need a sign, God. I need you to show me that everything will be all right. I know you, but I know you got power, God. But I need you to show me you're going to be with me. I know you've been around and you've been down with Deacon Tyrone, but are you going to be down with me? I know you've been around Deacon Drake, but will you walk with me? I know Trustee Reynolds got all the money, but can I have some too, Jesus? You got to be real and tell God, I need a sign. Every now and then, you got to understand, you got to be real with God. Every now and then, you get weak. I know you had a real faithful moment the other day, but every now and then, after you have a faithful moment, that's when the devil gonna show up, because all your energy is depleted. And when you have your greatest victories, here comes your greatest challenge. Oh, you better hear me right now. Jesus was transfigured on the mountain. God said, well done, I love my son. Who am I well pleased? He walked down the mountain and everybody was doubting him. When you have your greatest victory, then comes your greatest challenge. And you got to say, God, if you brought me through me yesterday, please show me a sign you're going to bring me through it today.
They doubt. Jesus reached out and said, I'm going to be with you. He proved the reality of his resurrection. He appeared to Mary Magdalene and the other women, to the Emmaus disciples, to the disciples without Thomas, and again with Thomas. He came to show him he was Emmanuel. God is with us. Aren't you glad that you don't have a God that doesn't like you personally? Aren't you glad you have a God that was tempted at all points and understand that the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak? Aren't you glad you have a God that will be with you no matter what height, no depth, no principality, no former things, no latter things could ever separate you from the love of your God? Aren't you glad you got a God that's split the veil from the top to the bottom to let you know he wants to have a personal relationship with you? Aren't you glad you ain't got to go and sit in a little phone booth and talk to another man about your sin, and you can go right to God? Aren't you glad you ain't got to throw Hail Marys in the sky like Brett Favre and just say, Lord, I have a personal relationship with you. I need you to meet me right down here in New Beach Grove. Aren't you glad you got a God that want a personal relationship with you? Aren't you glad you got a God that thought it not robbery to walk down with you and experience life with you? Oh, Jesus. Oh, I'm preaching too much. Ooh. Number three. And it's the last one. So you'll get out in time for Sunday school. The reality of the resurrection is found in restored lives. John 21, 15 through 17, we find what is called Peter's reinstatement. It says, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Peter, to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. He said to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said again, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? I know he getting on Peter's nerves. Peter was grieved because he said unto him, Now I done told you three times, now lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. After a meal with the disciples on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus addressed Peter directly for the first time since his resurrection. The last time Jesus spoke to Peter, it was a command in the Garden of Gethsemane, a place of suffering. Jesus was arrested. Tension was high. Peter did what he knew. He assaulted a soldier. He tried to kill the soldier. I know we say Peter cut off his ear, but what Peter was really trying to do, back then they had the helmets. They were fused together and welded together right here. He was trying to cut his head off. He was trying to split his head right down the middle, but he wasn't a soldier, so he hit the side of it and cut his ear off. Jesus commanded Peter, put the sword away. Shall I not drink the cup of the Father has given me? See, sometimes people get in the way of your destiny. They don't want you to go down the way of Villa Dolorosa, the way of suffering. They don't want you to go take up your cross, but there's a cross in your life that you gotta pick up. I'm not talking about an old wooden cross that's sitting on your grandmama's wall with the big fork and the spoon. I'm talking about a cross in your life where you have to walk in some challenges that some people say you shouldn't go down there. Don't you worry about doing this. That's too hard. You might get messed up, but you gotta say, no, get ye behind me, Satan. I gotta go do what God has called me to do. But this time with Peter after the resurrection was different. The place was different. Jesus met in a place of comfort where Peter had first met Jesus. From now on, you will fish for my people. It was a place of audacious faith, where Peter once walked on water, a place where Peter felt most at home. Here, Jesus asked this question, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? To Peter's surprise, Jesus asked him three times, do you love me? Why three times? To remind Peter that he had denied him? Nah. I think what he was doing was trying to give him a do-over. You denied me three times, so let me say you love me three times. Aren't you glad you got a God that'll let you do it over? That even though you mess up, he'll let you do it over again. Even though you done fail, he'll give you a second and third chance. Aren't you glad that even though Peter denied him and you do sometimes too, that Jesus will come back and let you get a do-over and he'll give it to you in an easy place? He took him out of the Garden of Gethsemane. He took him to Galilee where Peter felt at home, where Peter had done great miracles. You know, if you look back over your life and remember some things that Jesus brought you through, you'll have. See, Jesus wanted to remind him not only of his failure, he wanted to remind him of the things he did. He took him right back where he walked on water. He took him right back where he caught all the fish. God had called you to reminisce on the good thoughts that you had, the thoughts that he brought you through and what he brought you out of. And when you remember what he brought you out of, you'll be able to get out of this mess that the devil is trying to put you in right now. He gave him a second chance. The death and the resurrection of Jesus left a profound impact on Peter's life. He finally learned what it meant to be a disciple of Christ. After denying Jesus, it's probably a lesson he would have preferred to learn differently, but it was a moment Peter would never forget. Jesus pursued Peter. See, some of you all think you came to God on your own. You silly Christian. Jesus drew you out of that bed. Jesus drew you out of your drug life. Jesus drew you out of your lying. Jesus drew you out of your scandalous life. Jesus drew you out of the darkness and brought you into the marvelous light. He's the one who pursued you. He's the author and finisher of your faith. You ain't done nothing on your own. So stop looking down on these folk that come here as unfinished products. I'm trying to get up out of here. Jesus restored Peter. He said, do you love me? He said, if you love me, feed my sheep. You know what he's trying to do? Brother Claiborne, what he's trying to do is show Peter to love people like he loved Jesus. Ooh, Jesus, that person in that cubicle that's always lying on me, that dude who always lying and hating on me, that lady who keep looking at my husband, I gotta love them like I love Jesus. That's the problem. We try to love people for who they are. Mm-mm. You gotta love them like you love Jesus. I hope you love Jesus. Do you love Jesus? Well, you gotta love your enemy too. You gotta feed his sheep. You gotta be a light into the darkness. Huh? You have to be salt of the world. Don't love that man or that woman like what they do. Love them like you love Jesus. Lord, look at this. I just want to read Matthew 16, 18. And I tell you that you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Aren't you glad Jesus called you your Omega and not your Alpha? He called you your end and not your beginning. He called you your good and not your bad. He called you your success and not your failure. You know that? He called Peter the rock, even though Peter messed up, even though Peter denied him. It say in the Bible that he really cussed the girl out. Really, if you exegete the text, he got mad. Yo, blankety blank girl, I told you I don't know him now. Keep on messing with me, I know something. Lied, cussed out and everything, and she tell the truth. But Jesus said, on this rock I'm going to build it. See, he restored intimacy. See, restored intimacy after failure is great for the relationship. See, the relationship is more intense. The relationship is more genuine. The relationship is more pure. If you ain't never had a disagreement with God, you don't know God. Now, of course, he ain't worried about you, but you have a disagreement. He just going to sit there and wait till you do what you're supposed to do. But before Jesus ascended to heaven, he reminded disciples of their own assignment. He said, Acts 1 and 4, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. The restoration of their assignment teaches them what? To stay together, to wait for power, to trust in God, to remember God's promises. See, and I'm at my close. I don't know if I'm a hoop or not, but thank you for being there, Brother Organist. It matters how we treat the resurrection. It either entertains us or propels us forward. We are either a passive participant in God's liberating, redeeming plan, or we are actively engaged, moving in the power and authority of the resurrection. Thomas's faith needed to be once and for all resolved before he could receive the fire of the Holy Spirit. Thomas needed to move from a relationship with the Rabbi Jesus to a genuine, authentic relationship with the Savior Jesus Christ, and he needed to be restored for his calling and assignment. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is meant to be real in our everyday lives, not just on Easter. Not tucked away in some nice little story, but living, breathing, and powerfully stirring our lives just as the lives of the disciple. Jesus didn't die to just get you to heaven. Yes, that's where I want to go, and I hope you want to go too. But he didn't die for that. He came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. He came to give you a power that you can walk on serpents. He came to give you the power to heal the sick. He came to give you the power that you don't worry about a Democrat or a Republican. That you understand no matter who the president is, it does not matter, because God is my ever and present help. Let me do this and I'm going to sit down. I'm going to reinforce what I said in the beginning. No matter how numb you find yourself, how dead and hopeless your situation may be, it's no match for the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What's dead in your life that God wants to restore? Is your marriage dead? The resurrection power can do something for it. Is your child down and out acting like they're crazy? The resurrection power can restore your child. Is your child still in jail? The resurrection power can give him the right lawyer. Come on, somebody. What's dead in your life that God wants to restore in you? Is your marriage messed up? Is your life messed up? Are your finances funny? Is your health depleting? Whatever is dead in your life, God can resurrect it with the resurrection power of Jesus. If he died on the cross and he stayed in the grave all day Friday and stayed in there all day Saturday and all night Saturday, if he got up early on Sunday morning with all power in his hands, he gave you that power. He gave you that paraclete. He gave you that advocate. He gave you that helper. He gave you that comforter in the form of the Holy Ghost. And you can do all things, not some things, not a few things, not a lot of things, not the most things, but all things through Christ who strengthens you. You better let them know that there's power in the cross. There's power in the redeeming blood of Jesus. I can tread on serpents. I can step on my enemies. He prepared a place before me in the presence of my enemies. Because of Jesus, I'm not broke. He came to give me life and give it to me more abundantly. A good measure blessing. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, he will make a way out of no way. I don't care how down you are. I don't care how messed up you are. I don't care how defeated you are. If you just look to the hills for which cometh your help and say, Jesus, I believe. Help my unbelief. He will renew your strength. You will mount up like eagles. Can't nobody stop you but you. When you go to your job, let them demons know it's the blood that got me. See, I'm going to preach on this one day, but you know how some people, I'm not trying to be, something wrong with me when I preach anyway, but some victims of crime, especially those who have been violated physically, say, I smell him on me sometimes. I smell him. I can, if I hear a certain scent, I feel like my violator is in the room. But I need you to know that when somebody come against you, if you can just smell for the blood of Jesus and know that there's a sweet smelling Savior, that no matter what hell comes against you, I smell the blood on my life. So even though you're coming against me, I smell blood. He covers me. He covers me. He walks with me. He talks with me. And he tells me I'm his own. I smell the blood of Jesus in my situation. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're lying on me in my cubicle. I smell blood. You're lying on me at my job. I smell the blood. You're lying at me and what I'm doing. I smell the blood. I can't escape him because I had an experience with Jesus and the blood is on my life. And no matter what demon comes against me, it'll pass over me because the Passover lamb is Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. He is my Feast of Weeks. He is my buckler. He is my salvation. He is my sacrificial lamb. He is my deliverer. He is my lawyer. He is my friend. I got to preach at 11. So I'm going to sit down. The power of the resurrection is real. See. If you got a cross with Jesus on it, throw it in the trash. He ain't there. You ain't Catholic. Throw that mess in the trash. He ain't there. The power is him getting on, getting off, and getting up. Jesus on the cross ain't helping me none. Jesus off the cross and risen in the power of the resurrection. That's why I don't worry about my enemies. That's why I don't worry about lies and scandals. That's why I don't worry about when people come against me. You got to understand that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. If he died and rose on the third day, and every time a preacher say he done and he got up and you start shouting in the Holy Ghost, I need you to know that if he got up again, he's in your life. He's restoring you. He's bringing to life your dead situations. And nothing can escape the resurrection power of Jesus. Not even your own doubt. I'm going to tell y'all this and I'm going to sit down for real. Y'all laughing like I'm lying. For real. If you got faith, just stay up. No, I'm saying. Seriously, when I was getting my first house, I was 22 years old, and I started doubting. But I had already prayed and put Jesus' name on it. I had already walked around the house, plead the blood on it. And I started getting scared. Oh, I ain't going to be able to get this house. It's too much. I ain't going to have enough money. I ain't going to do this. But then it's crazy because I had already claimed it in Jesus' name. That demon of fear started getting scared. He said, oh, but you got to get it because you put Jesus' name on it. Ain't no way you can turn around now. Let me tell you something. When you put Jesus' resurrecting power on a situation, your own doubt can't stop you. It's too much power at the cross for you to be walking in defeat. It's too much power in the blood for you to be taking the sacraments and walking in a defeated life. It's too much power at the cross for you to take this supplement and take it and don't have forgiveness for your brother or your sister. Reverend Montgomery, when he comes, he's going to do it very well. He always do it. He said, some of us sleep, which means you're getting sick and you're dying because you're taking this, but you haven't forgiven your brother. You don't have to fight your enemy. Jesus said, the battle's not yours, but it's mine. I need you to understand that no matter what you're going through, the resurrection power of the blood of Jesus will redeem you and deliver you. Old school preachers will tell you, he'll pick you up, turn you around, and place your feet on solid ground. I knew I'd wake somebody up. I'm finished.